Hello, everyone. I just finished stuffing some food down my mouth, so let me drink. Let me drink and rinse my mouth out. Hold on one second. Thanks for talking enough, though, there, that Don, that I had a chance to finish stuffing the food down my mouth. We went hiking today, and I was starved. But hold on. I got a drink now. Hold on. I had some cheese and crackers. Yeah, I stuffed it down my mouth. I didn't want you guys to hear my stomach growling while I was teaching. Now I'm teasing about that. I didn't have a thought about that at all. I was just hungry, so I ate. And now I am satisfied. Hi, Danielle. Danielle and Jasmine and Jamie and I went hiking today. There's a beautiful lake near us, about 10 minutes from the house, called Lake Pueblo. And then behind Lake Pueblo, there are several hiking trails that go off through the desert. It's a very beautiful spot in the desert. You have, I don't know what you call, what are those cowboy kind of hills called? Are they called, are those what buttes are? B-U-T-T-E-S? I don't know, but it's a beautiful hike through what looks like cowboy country. It is very hilly, very high hills. There's cactus. There's also the lake there. You can see Pueblo West off in the distance. You can see Pikes Peak and many other mountains. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So we went there today and we let the dog off the leash and she ran and ran and ran and ran. I kept thinking she would get tired, but she never really did. She just ran and ran and ran and ran and ran and ran. We had a great time. Oh, and I just remembered I forgot to put the clothes in the dryer. So if anybody here has a really good memory, at 6:15 when I quit teaching, type in, "Hey, Gina, go put the clothes in the dryer," because Jasmine needs clothes to wear to school tomorrow, and I don't think she wants to wear wet clothes. But I'm having a wonderful time. I'm just having a wonderful time. Maybe you can hear that. I feel so blessed. I still haven't gotten over the amazement that, you know, a year and a half ago while taking a walk, I was guided to lay down and take a nap by the street. And that during that 2-minute nap, I had a dream that told me to go to Pueblo. And wow, Pueblo, it blows me away. It's just amazing to me. You know, when I'm here, I just think, wow, it's just amazing. What an amazing symbol of, I guess, God's love. I mean, it's just amazing what Holy Spirit gives us when we surrender. I didn't even know Pueblo existed. I was totally unaware of this place, and I really enjoy being here, and I feel so at home here. I was noticing that this morning when I got up. I went out on our back deck for a little bit, and, you know, the terrain here is very different than any place I've ever lived before. It's not at all like any place that I've ever called home. And yet it feels so natural to be here. It feels so much like home. I am so at home here. And I am just not over the amazement. I'm really having a great time. But let's get to work. I like to work too. And by work, I really do mean focusing solely on Holy Spirit. Letting go of anything that could possibly be a distraction. Oh, wait. We have a question. A question from Lisa Hansen. Does it feel like home to Danielle? Danielle, I see you're in the room. I don't know if you have a mic, and I know you're very shy. Oops, there she goes. She's answering. She says, totally. And Danielle, if you want to say anything at all about Pueblo, just stick up your hand, and I would gladly give you the mic, because it is kind of fun sometimes for people to hear different perspectives. But I also realize you don't always like to talk, so if you don't want to, that's cool too. But if you want to, just stick up your hand. Nick's saying, please, but you can ignore him. Okay, here you go, Danielle. You may have dropped the mic right away. I saw it blink on and then it blinked back off. Try it again, Danielle.
Can you hear me now? I won't ignore you. I'm having a really fun time. Regina's been really nice and bringing me all over the place to places I've never been before. We went to the zoo, and we went hiking, and we went to see some really big rocks called Garden of the Gods. And I'm doing all the things that I always loved to do but never got to do, and I'm really blessed and really happy. So thank you.
Jasmine does seem to like it too. She was nervous about starting a new school, of course, but you know, in fact, the first morning I went in with her, but and when I left, you know, she looked like she was about to cry. She was holding it back, of course, but I could just tell she was about to cry. But she came home happy. She said she made friends within 5 seconds. She loves Danielle and Debbie to death. In fact, Danielle usually is here till around 8 at night. And today Danielle left early because tomorrow's her first day of work, and so she needed to be prepared. So she left around 4 or so. And about 4:30, Jasmine goes, "Oh, the house is too quiet." So she loves having Danielle and Debbie around. Yes, Joe Wolf, what is your question?
Hi, Regina. You know, this is a question that's been burning in me for 3 days. And I wanted to email with you, and email the question with you. And now that I happen to be here when you're here, you know, in Matthew, I forget what chapter it is or whatever, Jesus makes a quote in the New Testament that I was sick and you came to me. I was in prison. I was in prison and you came to me. Can you explain that to me? I don't have the book where I can access it, but I'd like to hear it from your lips anyway. Thank you, love.
I'd love to comment, but I'm not sure I recall that from the New Testament, which means I don't have the context. But I'm still going to give an answer. I'm going to give an answer from Regina's perspective instead of from Jesus's, which actually might be the same, but I can't guarantee it. So if you'll take that qualifier. You know, it's really interesting because before I started the spiritual path, I actually thought I was happy. And in fact, that's maybe about as blind as we can be, which means I was really very blind. I really, really thought I was happy. And if you had asked me if I was happy, I obviously would have said yes, and then I would have listed my accomplishments, my successes, and pointed to all of that as happiness. But what I was completely blind to was my stress. I mean, and I know I've told you guys this before if you've heard it. When I look back now at how I mothered, I'm just amazed. Oh my God, I was a mean mother. I was not what you know they would call abusive to the point where they would come and take my child away. I was mean maybe in more of a normal way, but it was mean. I remember yelling at Jasmine many times at the top of my lungs. You know, we're talking about a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, screaming at her for being a kid. One example is like when I would go, yeah, shut up is great, Cliff. I don't know, you may be talking to me, but yeah, I'm teaching now, shut up. Oh yeah, you are talking about me. Yeah. That's the kind of mom I used to be. Shut up. I remember Jasmine has slept with me off and on her entire life. Sometimes she does for a while, then she'll go through a phase where she doesn't for a while. But I remember, you know, going to bed and her wiggling, you know, because she's 3 and 3-year-olds wiggle and I want to go to sleep and the bed's wiggling and just screaming at her with such hatred. And I thought I was happy. It's really ridiculous now. But I really feel like Holy Spirit came to me without me even asking. I guess it's somehow I did ask. Or I gave willingness. But what happened was I, you know, at the level of work, I had set many goals and really accomplished them. I had a very successful team. We were winning national awards, getting lots of kudos from the company. I was highly respected. Things were going very, very well. And I actually began to get a little bored, and I tried to create a new vision at work, mainly to excite me, and I couldn't come up with anything exciting, and I was just kind of asking in my mind, now what? You know, there was not a challenge to excite me, so I was asking, now what? And during this time when I was asking, now what, I was reminded of A Course in Miracles, which was in my house. And I was reminded of that and reminded to go and read it. And some of you may know this story. I read the Manual for Teachers first, and it really spoke to me. And so I decided to take A Course in Miracles with me on a cruise that we were going on soon. And I decided I would start the text and the workbook there. And that very first morning when I was going to start the text and the workbook on the cruise, I felt that I was really starting something holy, and so I should say a prayer. And I had no specific intentions about this prayer. It was more of a ritual idea from my childhood. But during that prayer, something came over me. I've told you guys this before. Something came over me. And I felt an overwhelming desire to surrender the rest of my life. And that's when I said, I will learn whatever you want me to learn. I will do whatever you want me to do. Just make me useful for the rest of my life. And this idea of surrender that came over me was so complete that really, as you guys know, if you know me at all, my life began to turn on a dime pretty quickly after that, and I have just followed it. So Joe, when I look at I was in prison and you came to me, that's kind of how I feel. I feel like it was a wonderful gift. I was in prison and didn't even know I was in prison, but now I look back and I realize I was, and Holy Spirit came to me in that prayer as the desire to surrender, and I just feel blessed. I don't know how else to answer that. I just feel blessed. I feel very, very grateful. I feel perfectly led. So there you go. Now, what I will try and do later, Joe, in fact, I'm writing it down now. I will try and look that up. I'm writing it down right now. I was in prison and you came to me, and I will go ahead and send you an email. And since I'm doing this over Pal Talk, and other people may also be interested, I'll post it on the Peace of God in the NTI discussion group. I'll look that up and get a little more context around it. Matthew 25-36. Okay, great. I will look that up and refer to it later. Or maybe we should just grab the Bible now. Just to heck with it. Hold on one second. I got to walk all the way over to the bookshelf. Be right back. Nothing like a spontaneous change of plans. That's what makes life fun. So let's just do this. Let's just take care of this now. Yeah, it's kind of like I was blind and now I see. It's reminding me of Amazing Grace, of that song. But let's look this up in the Bible. So I'm opening the Bible now to Matthew. I don't have my Bible glasses on, which are actually a little stronger, but what the heck, we'll figure out what it says. Matthew, let's see, what'd you say, 25:36? Okay, I'm using the NIV version of the Bible. I've opened up to Matthew chapter 25, and now I'm looking for verse 36, and we will read the entire context is what we'll do. And the phone is ringing, so hold on one second before I start reading. Let's see if this is Ron. Yeah, let me just tell Ron I'm teaching, and he can call Jasmine.
Call from Ron.
See how my phone talks to me? Isn't it cute? Hey, Ron. I'm fine. I'm teaching. Can you call Jasmine on her phone? Okay, I love you. Bye. All right. Okay, here we go. So the name of this section in the NIV Bible is called The Sheep and the Goats. And actually, I have a magnifying glass here. I'll use that. That will help. And that's Jasmine's phone ringing now, if you hear it. But our phones are side by side downstairs. Okay, here we go. This is all Jesus speaking. Jasmine doesn't have a boyfriend. I have a boyfriend, but he's going to call Jasmine and talk to her because I'm busy. Cliff is so silly. Okay, here we go. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. By the way, I want to say, Joe, I just have one of those strong deja vus, you know, that deja vu, that feeling we've done this before. The whole thing, your question, Cliff's comment about the boyfriend, and me just reading. And whenever I have a deja vu now, I don't know what that means literally, but what it means to me is pay attention. So I'm going to pay attention, all right? So let's pay attention, because I just had a deja vu. All right, here we go again. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Ah, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then it goes on to what he will say to those on the left, which were, of course, the goats, which, you know, would be the guilty ones. But let's listen to that. We'll read the whole story, then we'll talk about it. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." So that is from the Bible. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to open up NTI to Matthew chapter 26. If anybody else has NTI and you want to read along, I'll shout out the page number. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to verse 31, which is at the top, so about the middle of page 56. All right? Here we go. This is what Holy Spirit says about this particular section that we just read, which goes all the way through verse 46. All right? Here we go. "Fear must be released. You must look at your fear." Wait, make sure I'm in the right place. Am I? Matthew chapter 26, is that where we're at? No, Matthew chapter 25. That's why this isn't making sense. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 46. Okay, this is page 53. Thank you, Claudette. Here we go. "The sheep and the goats are the thoughts within your mind. Both are within your mind now. When you look at the world, you may look with the thoughts of sheep, or you may look with the thoughts of goats. When you look at your brother, you may look with the thoughts of sheep, or you may look with the thoughts of goats. The thoughts of sheep are God-centered thoughts. They are thoughts of love, oneness, sharing, peace, and joy. Within the thoughts of sheep, there is no thought of separation. Within the thoughts of sheep, everything is the same, blanketed with peace and love and the security of God. These are your real thoughts because they are based on reality. The thoughts of goats seem to be the opposite. Although they may sometimes seem like love, it is love for oneself separate from the love of others. Although they may sometimes seem like peace, it is peace for one's way separate from the way of others. For the thoughts of goats are thoughts based on the illusion of separateness. When you listen to these thoughts, you believe the illusion to be real. What you believe shall be your experience, and so your mind will seem to be but a herd of goats. I am the light of the world. I have come to show you that goats are but shadow thoughts within your mind based on a belief in illusion. Look to me and ask for help. We will sort through the herd together. The sheep shall be separated from the goats. The sheep shall last forever, and the goats shall be no more. So, using, of course, the traditional interpretation of the story that we read in the New Testament, part of it is really the same as what we understand from Holy Spirit now, that really everyone is, it's funny because maybe this isn't exactly the Christian interpretation, but it's really what Jesus is saying is, you know, whatever you have done to your brother, you have done to me. So he's talking about our oneness there, right? Whatever you do to your brother, you have done to me. So if you have had compassion for your brother, if you have loved your brother, if you have helped your brother, that's when you did those things to me. If you did not have compassion for your brother, if you did not love your brother, if you did not help your brother, that's when you did not do those things to me, because we are one. And that's a beautiful thought. It reminds me of Mother Teresa. You know, Mother Teresa said everyone she helped, she was always helping Jesus, right? Every single person, she was always helping Jesus. But probably the error in the story is, of course, the guilt, right? That those who did help their brothers, cared about their brothers, had compassion for their brothers, were given eternal life. And those who did not were given eternal damnation. So Holy Spirit reinterprets that story. And Holy Spirit reinterprets that story, instead of being a story of form, what you do to your brother and your salvation or guilt as a result, instead of that story of form, Holy Spirit makes it a story of the mind. And in fact, that's one of the first things NTI says in the very beginning of Matthew, is it says, this is not a story of form, this is a story of the mind. It's one of the first things we're told when we start reading NTI. And he refers to the sheep as our God-centered thoughts, and he refers to the goats as our ego thoughts, our thoughts of separateness. And really what he is saying is that our God-centered thoughts will live forever. They have eternal life because they are our truth. And he says that our ego-centered thoughts will end. And what's interesting about that interpretation is there's no guilt in that interpretation whatsoever. He's not saying even that if you should happen to listen to ego 100% of the time now, that right now you're guilty. He's not even saying that. He is merely saying these are not your real thoughts and they will end. It's very simple. These are not your real thoughts and they will end. The God-centered thoughts are your real thoughts and they are eternal. But of course, what he is doing is he is encouraging us to sort through the herd. He's encouraging us to, with him, look at our thoughts, Let him help us recognize which ones are truly God-centered thoughts. And keep those thoughts. Follow those thoughts. Practice those thoughts. And then also to look at the thoughts that are not God-centered thoughts, the thoughts that are ego thoughts, and go ahead and let those thoughts go. And he says if we don't do that, then the effect that we are going to experience is that our mind will be a herd of goats. In other words, we're not going to be happy. There's no guilt there. There is no guilt there. We're just not going to be happy. And so this is a decision for us to make. He's not saying that we're guilty if we listen to the ego. He's just saying we won't be happy. So the question is, am I ready to be happy now? That's my question. Am I ready to be happy now? Am I tired of my mind being a herd of goats? And if so, then what I want to do is I want to really partner with Holy Spirit in the healing of my mind. And the reason I say partner with Holy Spirit is because I do have a part to do. It is my part to watch my thoughts with Holy Spirit. And when a thought is pointed out to me to be an ego thought, I must make the decision to choose not to listen to it. I must make the decision not to follow that thought. I must make the decision to let that thought go. And what's really interesting about the way Holy Spirit interprets this is he does tell us that some of ego's thoughts seem like love. We may think that they're loving thoughts, but if we look at them carefully, it's really love for oneself separate from the love of others. This brings the idea of special love to my mind, where I love you as long as you are pleasing me. And when you stop pleasing me, I stop loving you. So in reality, it was love of one's self. As long as you made me feel good about me, as long as you gave me the things I felt I needed or felt I lacked, as long as you fulfilled me, I love you. And when you don't, that's the end. So you see, that's not real love. He also says that sometimes the ego's thoughts may seem like peace. And that's really interesting too, because this is something Danielle and I talked about on the hike today, because it relates to today's single quiet thought, which I may also have to jump up again and grab that. It's also across the room. But the single quiet thought today says, peace is not a feeling. It is a state of mind. And Danielle asked me about that. What does that mean, you know, that it is not a feeling? Well, feelings, as we know, change. I can feel peaceful in the moment. The example I used with Danielle today, we were on such a lovely hike. I said, I can feel peaceful. My mind can be saying, ah, it's such a beautiful day. I am at peace. You know, the weather is fine. This is a great place to be. Everything is perfect. I am at peace. But those are all ego thoughts, because the cause of my peace is the form. If the form changes, if a storm suddenly came over the mountains and we were in a thunderstorm, I may not be at peace anymore. If Danielle, if Danielle happened to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and she suddenly started getting really whiny or really, you know, crappy in some way, I don't know, she doesn't, so it's hard to imagine. But if she started doing that, my peace may go away. Because although it felt like peace, it wasn't. It wasn't true peace. It was still ego. So part of what Holy Spirit is pointing out to us in this section is that just because it looks like love doesn't mean it is love. Just because it looks like peace doesn't mean it is peace. And this is why we really need to go to the Holy Spirit and ask for help. So that's the interpretation that the Holy Spirit gives it. Now, if we look at the two together, the two interpretations together, you know, in the Bible, Jesus is saying, of course, you know, I was in prison and you came to me. All right? You fed me, you clothed me, you took care of me. How do we really do that? If ego can look like love but isn't, if ego can look like peace and isn't, it means that we really can't do that by listening to ego. It means that what we need to learn to do is listen to one voice like Jesus did. We want to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. If we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are doing what Jesus is saying there. We are really truly being helpful. That's what he means by that. We are really truly being helpful. I was in prison and you came to me means you stopped listening to ego, you listened to Holy Spirit, and you followed guidance. Thank you. It's really saying thank you to us for surrendering to our inner voice. That's what Jesus is doing. He's saying thank you to us for surrendering to our inner voice. And I have personally felt that thank you. I felt it recently. As you know, I came to Pueblo because of a dream. You know, I had a dream that said go to Pueblo, and I came. And it was a year and a half trek from the time I had the dream until the time I arrived here. But when I arrived here, the very first time I sat down in my chair to go into stillness within this house, the very first time I did that, I closed my eyes, and what I both heard and felt in a very big way was, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I still have no real idea why I'm here, but I heard, thank you for coming. It's the same thing. It's Holy Spirit saying, thank you for surrendering to your guidance and following it. And this is really what we are being asked to do. We're not being asked to think for ourselves. We're not being asked to decide for ourselves what is love. We're not being asked to find peace in our way. We're being asked to let go of our way, to let go of our thinking, surrender to within, and let it guide us. And my experience is that it is true, it is very true, that the inner voice will guide us to do things we would not do if we were thinking for ourselves, if we were using our thinking mind, the mind that I call me. If I had been listening to my thinking mind, I never would have quit my job, left Boston, and moved to North Carolina. Never. Never. If I had been listening to my thinking mind, I never would have considered writing down an interpretation to the New Testament. In fact, my thinking mind says that's an absurd idea. Who in the hell would do something as egotistical as that? That's what my thinking mind would say. My thinking mind would call that egotistical, although it's not. But my God, who the hell do you think you are writing down an interpretation of the New Testament? I never would have done that. Never. Not in a million years. I never in a million years would have joined with Laurent. Never. That was actually a struggle for me to accept that guidance. My thinking mind was saying no, 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 and dragging its feet all of the way. And the same was happening for him, by the way. But I would never now trade that year and a half for anything because of all of the value I got out of that. Never. I wouldn't trade any of it. I, you know, with my thinking mind, would not have followed first of all, I never would have laid down on the side of the road and taken a nap. Otherwise, had a dream that told me to go to Pueblo and go to Pueblo. I would never would have done that. I never would have invited Debbie to live with me. I never would have done that. So it is true that when we surrender to the inner voice, we are guided to do things that we would not do. But one thing I want to say is that a lot of people have the idea that this means that surrendering to Holy Spirit is sacrifice. And that is absolutely untrue. I have not sacrificed anything. All that I am doing is gaining. I am freer, I am happier, I see more clearly. I mean, literally, I was in prison and didn't even know it. And Holy Spirit came to me with what I will now call a request to surrender, although it felt like an overwhelming desire. It was a request to surrender, and I, thank God, said yes. I don't even know how that happened. And I wouldn't take back any of it, although none of it is anything I would have done. This is our job. This is what we're asked to do. We are literally asked to let go of ourself. And the reason we are asked to let go of ourself is because ourself is what keeps us in prison. And if we keep ourself in prison, metaphorically speaking, we are also keeping Jesus in prison because we are one. So the way that we set Jesus free is that we set ourselves free by surrendering to our inner voice. So it's an awful long answer, Joe, and not the answer you would get from a Baptist preacher, I'm sure, at least not completely. but it's the answer that I have. And the answer is also that it's a reciprocal gratitude. For when we choose to listen to our inner voice, the inner voice is grateful to us, and we are grateful to it. Because it is letting go of prison. It's setting the Son of God free. And it's just, gratitude is all that we can have for that. So, there you go. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything else. We've hit a pretty spontaneous line here. It's not what I came here to do, but I'm okay with that. Does anybody else have anything while we're here in a line of spontaneity? Oh, Joe, go ahead. Hey, Joe, I thought I saw your hand up, but I'm not hearing your voice. So if you're speaking, please try and take the mic again.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay. Only that, there is that presence. And I feel it in you, Regina. I know we experience it. There is that presence of something behind everything that is. And I refer to it as that endless pool of pure peace. That backdrop of vibrant, all-powerful awareness which lingers within, undaunted by skepticism or doubt. I mean, we can doubt it, we can question it, but it's still waiting, patiently, and it's always accessible, and it's lingering silently, unseen until called upon, mostly in depression, we crash and burn, and we ask for guidance or relief. It's the final, how could I have ever doubted you, conviction, combined with an authentic attitude of, I knew you were always there, Father. I knew you were always there, waiting for me. How could I have ever doubted you? In every moment, in every thought, in every movement that I make, so to wallow in gratitude means to immerse myself in the relief that whatever I do, whatever happens, I'm safe. Nothing can harm me. I'm the Holy Son of God Himself. I'm not this temporary body. I'm free. I'm still as God created me. Thank you, Regina.
Thank you, Joe. And what I'm going to do is Let's see, do I need to walk across the room? Where is my notebook? I wanted to read the single quiet thought. And, yep, it's across the room. Hold on, let me get it. In that previous answer, we talked about peace is not a feeling, which I said is today's single quiet thought. I thought I would just go ahead and read the single quiet thought. First of all, because I make it a practice to read the single quiet thought every time my mind thinks about it. So if I have a thought about the single quiet thought, I read it. I don't not read it if I have the thought. That is just how I practice. So as many times a day as I think to read it, that's how many times a day I read it. And while I was giving that previous answer, I had the thought, so I'm just going to do my thing. I'm going to practice by reading the single quiet thought. So here's today's single quiet thought. Peace is not a feeling. It is a state of mind when the thinker has been put to rest and true wisdom guides. Thinking blocks the flow of wisdom. To know wisdom, one must stop thinking, or one must give attention to the gaps between the thoughts. If one gives attention to thinking, one will not know wisdom, and one will be ignorant of the realization of peace. Now, one thing I want to say is, as you guys know, I receive these single quiet thoughts almost daily, not quite, but almost daily. Also, as you know, there have been probably hundreds of messages that have come through me. And in fact, that's what we do usually during this time, is we read those messages that are posted on reginadonacres.com. And then all of NTI came through me, which is hundreds of pages. So a lot of words. And one thing that is absolutely true of every one of those words is that they only come when I am not thinking. And this has been true from the beginning. If Holy Spirit is speaking to me and I start thinking, the flow will stop for a moment. And I have to put my thoughts aside for the flow to begin again. It's literally as if my thinking turns the Holy Spirit faucet off. And this is really what Holy Spirit is saying to us. I know a lot of people do not yet understand the difference between the Holy Spirit's guidance and thinking. In fact, recently I received some guidance that I shared with a couple of friends, and you know, their response to me is as if I thought about this, as if I thought this up, thought about this, looked at this from many different angles, and that's just not what happened. I say it wasn't my idea. I can't answer those questions. It wasn't my idea. You have to understand, I didn't think about this. It wasn't my idea. It is true that sometimes people think and they come up with an idea they like and it feels good to them. And so they call it guidance, right? We've all heard that the Holy Spirit's guidance comes with a feeling of peace. But we've also just heard that the ego can feel like peace. Which means that if we think up an idea, if we're really thinking about a problem, and we think up an idea that feels good to us, the fact that our idea feels good to us does not mean it's guidance. True guidance comes when we put our thinking aside. Now, I have never been able to stop my thoughts permanently. My mind thinks a lot. My mind thinks a lot. In fact, I'm going to say that one more time. My mind thinks a lot. But what I am able to do is I am able to stop it for a short time. I am able to be still for moments. And I'm able to be still for moments several times throughout the day. And sometimes when I am still, there is nothing but a feeling of stillness. But sometimes when I am still, I feel or hear communication as if an other is talking to me. A capital O, other. It does not feel like it's coming from me, the one that is thinking all day long. That's guidance. And I guess what I'm feeling now is I really want to encourage everyone to separate the sheep from the goats. Let's stop pretending that our thinking is guidance. Let's stop pretending that just because my idea feels great to me means that it's guidance. Like I said a moment ago, the most significant pieces of guidance that I have received in this lifetime have all been things I would not have done. They did not come from my thinking. But every one of them have been so rewarding. Stan, I see your hand up. I'm turning the mic over to you.
So you're talking about, you know, all the ego and the negative thoughts you got to separate that from the Holy Spirit, to actually find out what actually the Holy Spirit sounds like in your mind, and trying to separate your mental thoughts and negative thoughts from the good thoughts. Is that exactly what you're talking about?
Actually, more than that, Stan, so I'm glad you asked, because I think that a lot of people might say, yes, the ego is the negative thoughts. The ego is the attack thoughts, the guilt thoughts, the unworthiness thoughts, and that's all true, okay? That's all true. Those are all ego. Holy Spirit would never sound like that. But ego can also sound like love. We just heard that in NTI. Ego can feel like peace. So that means that we need to become more discerning. And this is where we're getting down to the word thinking. Thinking. Again, if I have a problem and I think about it and look at it from five different angles and finally come up with a solution that feels good to me, that does not mean that solution was guidance. And in fact, that solution is probably really still helping me to hold on to my individuality. That feeling of good just means my ego likes the idea. Go ahead, Stan. I'm turning the mic over to you again.
So can your ego, I mean, you just said your ego can, you know, play games on you, but can your ego sound so much like the Holy Spirit that you think it is until it flips on you? I mean, is there, you know, anything that you can indicate? I mean, I heard you can have a religious ego, you know, that can really mess with you, but how can you really tell exactly, you know, if it's the ego playing with you or what?
Absolutely. There is a very, very spiritual ego. And again, I can only give you my experience, so please, everyone, take that, okay? I am giving you my experience. My experience is that the Holy Spirit is not what I would call my thinking. So, for example, Stan, let's say you called me with a problem. You wanted counseling, right? Which people do. So you call me with a problem, and I listen to you, and I think about what you're saying. I think about what A Course in Miracles says. I think about what might be helpful, and then I give you an answer. That came from the spiritual ego. That thinking. All of that thinking is ego. The ego can be very, very educated through its study of A Course in Miracles, through its study of NTI. Now, literally, when people call me, this is the truth of what I do. I always say very quickly, Holy Spirit, this is yours. I know nothing. And when they listen, when they speak, I focus on only listening, not thinking at all. Then all of a sudden I will feel to open my mouth and speak, and what comes through just comes through. There was no thinking. There was no looking at it from all different angles. And that's how I know it's Holy Spirit. So the best way I can describe it is, the ego is the thinking. And it can be very spiritual. It can use all the right words, but it's still the individual. You know, you think you came up with it yourself. Anyone who's ever truly followed guidance, you know, like a Mother Teresa, a peace pilgrim, a Jesus, a, you know, Saint Francis, they will all tell you it did not come from them. And they mean that. They mean that. That's how you know it's Holy Spirit. It did not come from me. They're not just saying that. That's the actual feel of it. Go ahead, Stan.
I always heard people in the intuitive work, they always say, you know, the faster you get the message, the clearer and the better, the more holy it is when it comes to you quicker. But if it takes a time to think about it, you know, it could be something, you know, a little crazy is going to come out. But, yeah, I've always heard that, too. I just didn't wonder where he was coming from. But, you know, always, anytime you're getting something like it, it's always good to get it quick. And I see your point there. I was just trying to understand it a little bit more.
Yeah, you definitely got it. And by the way, I just want to say I absolutely love hearing your voice, Stan. It feels so good. I may be very, very happy here, but I also still love North Carolina. And, you know, Stan, you guys may not know, he went to my church in North Carolina. So it's really, really great to hear your voice, Stan. Please give everybody there my love. Yeah, Cliff, I'm turning the mic over to you.
Yes, Regina, what you and Stan were talking about with the ego voice, I noticed things come in three, like pay attention things come in groups of three. There was three different times I heard, it was about a month ago. One of them was David Hawkins, where when thinking about another person, let's say you're in a grocery store and a woman in front of you, all of a sudden she breaks out all these coupons. And so my first thought is like, oh, damn it. Doesn't she know that these other people got things to do and places to go? Why does she have to break out the coupons? And then my thinking mind will say, no, no. Let her be who she is and bless her with love and light. Well, I remember David Hawkins saying that that's also conditional, like doing the reversal. I used to think that doing the reversal of something negative into a positive was the holy, the proper spiritual thing to do. Both were my ego. To see nothing, to just know the light, and to see the thought, if it's a thought about coupons, just know it's a thought, and be the love, be the light, see the love, see the light anyways. Thank you. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, no, I think that was perfect. In fact, one thing I said earlier was I said, I think three times, my mind thinks a lot. My mind thinks a lot, you know, my mind thinks a lot. But what I have learned to do is look at my thinking differently. What I have learned to do is look at my thinking as not important. So it's like there's this chatterbox going on in my head, and I'm just not overly interested in what it says. And what will happen, of course, over and over throughout the day is it will begin talking and I will start paying attention. And then I go, oh, wait a minute, that's my thinking. And as soon as I think that, I lose interest again. I just lose interest. So the thinking mind, at least in my experience now, maybe 2 years ago, 2 years from now, I'll be able to describe a different experience. But my current experience is that my thinking mind talks a lot. And I have to put conscious effort into being still. I don't tend to be still by accident. It's a decision. It's a decision. But what's happening is the decision is becoming easier. I have to return to it several times a day. You know, 1,000 times a day, as A Course in Miracles and Ramana Maharshi and Joel Goldsmith say. But it's getting easier because I'm really not as interested in that thinking as I used to be. I don't take it as seriously. So I just notice, there's that thinking again, and I turn my attention away from it. Yes, Stan, I'm handing the mic back to you.
You taught me some in my ministry class, so you know how I ask 1,000 questions. But I've been noticing here lately, you know, after you do so much spiritual learning and stuff, you'll be sitting there and a smile just automatically pop in your face, and you feel, you know, like a loving presence or something, and you're like, where is this coming from? But it's kind of strange. I mean, there's things when you're going through spiritual experiences, you'll come upon crazy things, but you'll be sitting there just going through your day, and a smile just pops up, and you're like, am I on something? You know, what's going on here? But you have experiences like that. I thought I'd ask you about that.
Yeah, that happens to me. What I'll notice is that I'm just really happy. Not a little happy, really happy, filled with joy. In fact, I think I said this to Danielle. It seems like it was Friday night. I just looked at her all of a sudden. I said, you know, I'm really, really happy. And she said, why? And I said, no reason. I'm just happy. And that is true. I will be just very happy, and there will be no seeming reason for it. You know, where before, you know, when I was totally attached to the thinking mind, in order to be happy, there needed to be a reason. You're like, I'm happy because it's a beautiful day. I'm happy because my friends are here. I'm happy because, and all of those becauses now are dropping away. It's just, I'm happy. You know, I'm standing here doing dishes, and I'm really happy. The kind of happiness that used to require something really exciting, like a dream vacation, you know, something really good had to happen for me to experience this joy before. Because, of course, the truth is, all right, guys, you ready for this? The truth is that joy is in us, period. That joy is in us. And the reason, even when we're totally attached to ego, the reason sometimes we experience that joy when we're on, let's say, a dream vacation is because we believe the dream vacation can create it. But the joy was already there. It's just we happened to allow it to come out when we were in a circumstance that we believed could create it. And when we were in other circumstances, we hid it from our own view. But as we start letting go of the obstacles to love's presence, which are these ideas, these beliefs that some things can make us happy and some things do not, for example, that same joy that used to seem to require something outside of us, as Joe is saying, that same joy that used to seem to require something outside of us just comes bursting forth for no reason. You're standing there doing dishes and you feel that immense joy, that immense happiness. That's because the joy has always been there. And now what's happening as we're letting go of the obstacles to love's presence is we're letting it be. We're just letting it be. And then we can be happy for no reason. And that's really fun. But I do want to say that, again, I'm going to speak from my experience, okay? My experience is that I actually had to walk through an awful lot of pain before I got to these spontaneous bursts of joy. And in fact, it seems to me that in A Course in Miracles, Jesus says we have to walk through the darkness to the light. I think those two sentences are synonymous. My experience, okay, I had to walk through an awful lot of pain to get to these spontaneous bursts of joy. And Jesus says we have to walk through the darkness to the light. And you guys have heard my stories, so I'll just summarize some of them, okay? I'm not going to go through the details. You've heard my stories. But when I left my job, when I was guided to leave my job, I did not smile and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll leave my job. I was terrified. I cried and cried. I had many nights that I slept in literally in the fetal position. There were nights, I swear to you, the fear was so strong, I thought the fear itself would kill me. It felt like the grim reaper came. But at the same time, and this is the Holy Spirit, at the same time there was this little thought in the back of my mind that just told me I was okay. I was healing. It was going to be all right. Be patient. It will pass. You know, just those little things. And the fear that seemed to be associated with leaving the job lasted a good year. a good year, 6 months before the move and 6 months after the move. That was a clearing, however. That was a clearing of an obstacle to love's presence. And then there, of course, even before that, there was when I looked at my belief in my own self-hatred, which had been very, very denied. And I won't go into that story. It's a long story. But if anyone wants to hear it, you can actually go to Phil Frisk's site. Phil, you're in the room. If you're listening, your name is in the room. You could type in your website address. It's www.miraclecenter.us. If you go to Phil Frisk's site, go to Regina Dawn Acres and look for a teaching called, what is the name of that teaching? The two interpretations, I think. I will have to look. What is the name, Dove? What is the name of the section in A Course in Miracles where Jesus is talking about how the ego interprets who we are? You know, what we are, and how the Holy Spirit interprets what we are, who we are, and we're asked to let go of the ego's interpretation of what we are. Listen to, what is it? Is it the two interpretations? I don't think so. That doesn't feel exactly right. It doesn't feel exactly right to me. I have the course here. Let me look. But if you want to listen to that teaching, I talk in detail about what it was like letting go of that unworthiness. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't easy, or I wouldn't be able to describe in a teaching all of the pain I went through in letting it go. Let's see. And then, of course, there was the relationship with Laurent. You know, with Laurent, I love Laurent. I want to tell you, I love Laurent perfectly. But that is not because our relationship was what they would call made in heaven at the level of the world, where we got along so perfectly, we had everything in common, we wanted all the same things. None of that was true in my relationship with Laurent. None of that. And Laurent and I went through a lot of pain. Laurent and I went through a lot of pain in a year and a half. But Laurent and I went through that pain together for one purpose, in order to heal our minds. And we both removed additional obstacles to love through that relationship. And we are incredibly, incredibly grateful. So I've gone through a lot of pain to get to the two evaluations, that's it, Dove. Okay, so if you want to hear the story of me letting go of my denied self-hatred, you want to go to miraclecenter.us. In fact, Dove has given you a link now. And listen to the two evaluations. He's given you a direct link if you want to click on that. But my point is, all right, here's my point. And really, these are all seem to be very serious points. It's funny. It's such a spontaneous night. But these are not little things I'm talking about. I went through a lot of pain through it with Holy Spirit, with the realization that I was healing, and with the desire to heal. I went through a lot of pain to get to the spontaneous joy. And I know, friends, I know some of you go to a lot of trouble to avoid pain. That's not going to do it. I love you, and I wish I could say that avoiding your pain is going to wake you up, but it's not true. And Jesus doesn't tell you that either. He says you have to go through the darkness to the light. I am absolutely willing to help you through your pain. Holy Spirit is absolutely willing to help you through your pain. But what we will not do is help you avoid your pain, because that's not love. If we help you avoid your pain, we are not loving you, because you're just going to keep having pain. You need to remove the obstacles to love's presence. You need to go through the darkness to the light. You need to experience the pain without believing it. And that is how it's released. And then you are free, truly free. And you'll find great, great joy while doing the dishes. Yeah, Stan, I'm turning the mic over to you.
I just want to say amen to that, because I've had Holy Spirit working in my life, and I've had a lot of things I put back in my mind back when I was a kid. I had a real rough childhood when I growed up, and things that I never did really want to bring up, that starts popping in your mind, you know. I guess, you know, it's the Holy Spirit trying to work you through this, that you've been putting back and you're trying to work it out. But you'll just start to have random things pop in your mind that you never thought about. I mean, like certain situations you didn't want to think about anymore. But it's like an indication that it's trying to say you need to work this out before you can go forward. But, you know, I have really actually been seeing this in the last couple months. Things like what she's talking about there, that you do got to go through your pain before you go forward. Even things that you've locked up in your mind for years, you got to work that out to straighten the person that you are today out, where you can go on forward. Because if you keep on holding that pain and stuff in your mind and in your heart, it'll hold you back for the rest of your life, really. And I didn't actually know that until recently.
Thank you. And yeah, I see Journey's End is saying there are gentle lessons. There are gentle lessons too. That's absolutely true. It's not like every lesson is painful, but to think that you don't have to experience pain, probably not true. I guess there are some people maybe who, how they got to that level to where they're able to spontaneously awaken, I'm not sure. There do seem to be a few of those stories where people seem to spontaneously awaken without having to, you know, go through the types of things I'm talking about. But for the most part, that isn't what we hear. That isn't what Jesus promises us in the Course. That isn't what NTI teaches us in 2 Timothy. NTI teaches us in 2 Timothy how to go through the pain, how to literally do it. So it seems like most of the time that's the way it is. I wanted to play a Resta song for you tonight. But I don't remember which CD it's on, and I guess this is my car CDs. I have car CDs and house CDs, and I must have got them reversed during the move, because the house CDs have a list of all of the songs on each CD, and the car CDs don't. They're just labels without listings. The Resta song I wanted to play you was a Halloween song, but it also goes very good with what we're talking about, because it's talking about letting go of these ghosts. Gosh, and I wish I had it with me, but I don't seem to have it. But I just pulled out a CD here. I'm just going to stick this CD in, and I'm going to play whatever song number 3 is on it. And we're going to listen to that. I don't know what it is, because there's no label, but we're going to listen to song number 3. And then we'll see. So here we go, guys. Song number 3 on volume 11.
Everyone walks to the horns. Everyone walks to the horns. Out of the night, home to the light. Everyone wants to go home. The saints and the sinners, the sick and the well, need the appearances, all know of hell. Deep in each heart, there lives a small spark, reminding us gently of home. La 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 la. Soul, a small glimmer of home awakens the remembrance of love. La 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 la.
Everyone wants to go home, and that, you know what, is what we want to focus on. We want to focus on our own desire to go home, and it really is our own desire to go home which will help us walk through the pain, walk through the darkness to the light. I did notice while the song was playing that Deborah asked, can you always know when you are avoiding pain? Probably at the conscious level we aren't aware of that, because we are experts at denial, very good at being blind. But there are a couple of things we can do, Deborah, if we are focused on our desire to go home and we want to let go of avoiding pain. One thing, remember, Holy Spirit is very real, okay? Holy Spirit is very real. So tell Holy Spirit, I want to go home. I want to go home. And I know that I will not go home by avoiding pain, by denial. So Holy Spirit, take my hand and help me to recognize my own pain, recognize my own defense mechanisms against that pain. Help me to stop using my defense mechanisms out of the desire to go home. Help me to allow the pain. Hold my hand. Be the gentle presence in my ear. I am not asking you to numb the pain for me, Holy Spirit. I am just asking you to please help me be aware of you as I go through the pain. With your hand, I willingly go through because I want to go home, because I want true joy, true peace, true love, because I want to see as you see. I want to love all of my brothers without exception. I want to love myself without any hidden spots of hatred or guilt. I don't want to keep anything away from God. I don't want to hide any longer. I want to go home. Please help me. Amen. All right, guys, thank you. It was a fun night, a very spontaneous night, one of maybe the only night that I have taught without starting with a prayer. but it feels that Holy Spirit was here the entire time, and I'm very, very grateful. I know my friend Myron is teaching in 15 minutes, so hopefully you'll be able to hang around and listen to her. She was here only a week ago. We had a great time with Myron. I'm going to try to come down and listen if Jasmine will let me. I love you guys. Thank you. And maybe I'll see you on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time for Awakenings. Bye-bye.